Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are talking to Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman, and we actually moved Eric up this week to Monday because, well, we haven't had him on in the last couple weeks, and also a lot to cover after that kind of wild ride that we all saw late hours last night and even early morning this morning in the precious metals sector. We all remember Friday, how bad gold performed, and over Sunday night, Monday early morning, boy oh boy, we saw just a waterfall decline from a little over 1760 to below 1700, and then a quick rebound to right around this 1740 level. Gold has since faded still a little bit, let's say right in between that 1720 to 1730 level. The stocks, at least if you look at the ETFs like GDX and GDXJ, those are down about 2 to almost 4% for GDXJ. Eric, this continues to be a tough market for precious metals investors because, look, we're continuing this downtrend. This is a year long now that gold and the gold stocks have been in a corrective phase. And if you look at the stocks, they're technically in a bear market. Gold hasn't quite dropped to that 20% lower level. Eric, what's your takeaway from this continued beatdown that we're seeing in gold?
Well, I mean, this is one of the more frustrating corrections since 2015, that's for sure. And I mean, I was prepared for a bottom, you know, last month, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and it just, you know, kept going down. But I try to stick to a simple strategy. I'm not a trader. I don't try to guess where gold and silver is going because, I mean, by far the majority of my money is not into actual gold or silver. It's into mining stocks. And those are, you know, different things because we can see divergences, et cetera. And I mean, I'm sticking to the simple strategy of buying stuff that's cheap and selling when I think it's expensive and the risk reward is too poor. The expected return is not good enough. Then I'll, you know, find something else. But I mean, right now, I have never seen more buys, in my opinion, simply due to the fact that junior valuations are at almost rock bottom. I mean, I see some valuations that if someone asked me, where do you think gold is trading at right now? I would probably say like, I don't know, 1,200, 1,300, something like that. Gold is still at over 1,700. I dreamed about $1,700 gold just, you know, 4 years ago. $1,400 was a dream at that point in time. So I don't think there's any connection at all with the futures price of gold and silver and the valuations in the junior mining sector. I mean, they're trading many juniors. Even now the developed ones have come down as well. I mean, the juniors are trading like either or gold is going away, or B, very easy to find an actual deposit, and like C, it's very easy to prove it up. I mean, none of that is true. So in my opinion, this is totally irrational. I mean, this is the dumbest, most brain-dead sector in terms of market efficiency, and I'm not rich enough that I can say no to an opportunity like this. And I have no idea where gold is going in the short or medium term. In the long term, I'm pretty sure it's up. And in the meantime, I'll just continue to buy stuff that's cheap because someday reality is going to set in the fact that we're mining a lot more gold than we're actually discovering. And you can't print gold, even though COMEX can get slammed, et cetera, and the future price goes down. What does that mean? Well, I mean, the incentive of actually going out and look for gold or putting something into production decreases even more. So the actual long case for the fundamental business actually goes up. And that's not reflected at all in the junior miners. So it's like, I haven't sold a single share. I'm not going to sell a single share. I'm ready to have a 30% or more downside from here. But I will not part with a single share that is undervalued because if it's pricing in $1,200 to $1,300 gold, that's like the margin of safety I have. And if gold actually hit that kind of level, then I bet the juniors will be pricing in $900 gold. And in that case, it's going to be Christmas. And if you put in, I don't know, 10,000, that's going to turn into 200,000 one day, something like that. Because
yeah, Eric, one sec. The problem is if you put in 10,000 6 months ago, it's turned into 6,000, maybe. So there's this timing thing, right? And even though I've heard this argument that the shares are pricing in lower gold, I don't necessarily think it's about what the gold price is now. It's about the direction that gold is going. And gold continues to drift lower. The miners continue to drift lower.
Yeah. But as I said, I mean, I've been all in since 2015. That has worked out very well. And I've had at least four corrections that were 40% or greater. So believe me, I've seen pain. I've had pain. I've never sold a top. I've never sold a bottom. I've seen this play out many times before. And every time I just stayed put and just kept on buying. And it worked out very, very well in the end. So, I mean, is this going to continue forever? Of course it's not going to continue forever. I mean, the correction from, I think, 2016 or 17, I mean, that was like twice as long or whatever. So, I mean, this might not be over. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that these valuations, I can't see how the average junior isn't up at least like 200% or in the next like 2-3 years. And that might sound like, you know, nothing to people, but that's a great return. It's just that most people are greedy and people have way too high expectations in terms of, you know, payoff and the time horizon to get such payoff. So it's like, I only do what has worked for me. I'll continue to do what has worked for me. And in the meantime, during these corrections, I'm going to look and feel like an idiot, but that's okay, because in the end, it has worked out.
Well, Eric, you know, in this kind of an environment, it almost seemed like the miners were signaling that they were going to keep heading lower and that possibly the metals may be under pressure. But we had talked off mic a little bit about the idea that really the miners never reflected. It happens the other direction, too. Sometimes miners will head up and it'll seem like they're leading the metals higher, but they never really fully reflected the metal prices we were at. So when you see a drawdown like this, there's definitely some blood in the streets. There's definitely some sentiment that was already bad that's going to get worse. And there's certain investors that will think, should I have sold and just got out of the way of this, you know, a little while ago, or should I sell and get out of the way of it now? What would you say to those people that are a little skeptical of this move? There's been some continued weakness. Should they wait for it to rebound and show that it's started to head back up before they get in? Or do you think that you'd mentioned it, particularly the explorers, that they could still move agnostic of the metals price?
Okay, let's divide it into two parts. I mean, if you're a value investor, you're not trying to guess the trend of anything. You're trying to, you know, basically control what you can control, what the risk reward is. So if you find a sector, if I understood the oil business, for example, and it was even cheaper than the mining business, then I would plow into the oil sector instead. And not knowing if the trend is up or down, I would simply get more bang for the buck, you know, buying shares for 10 cents on the dollar instead of 15 or whatever it might be in the mining sector. That's the only time I would actually sell something that I thought was cheap, if I found something cheaper. And as to the second part, now I almost forgot.
Pricing agnostic, the explorers can move up agnostic to metal spreads.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's like some of my biggest recent wins have been, or on paper at the moment. I mean, it's been like Labrador Gold, SK Mining, Goliath Resources, Newfound Gold, etc. I mean, Newfound Gold, if you sold Newfound Gold, which is, you know, a discovery story, if you sold that at the peak of the gold price in, I think it was August last year, and you knew 100% sure that gold was going to go down for the next 8 months, you would still have missed out on an 80% return in Newfound Gold, which goes to show that, I mean, discoveries and juniors that create value via the drill bit, I mean, value creation, a discovery, you know, can result in, that will trump any movement in the gold and silver price, assuming it's, you know, a legit discovery. And that doesn't happen often. So, and someone asked me, like, okay, if you think that the trend of gold is like neutral or down over the next 2 years, is there any point of actually being in the miners? I think so, because obviously everything is cheap. So if a junior finds a discovery and it's starting out at way too low price already, I mean, the return on that discovery is way better than if the discovery happened and the sector was doing great and the valuations were fraud. I mean, if a company is trading at $100 million and it makes a big discovery, obviously you would prefer to buy that company at $15 million in market cap, etc. So that's the risk reward. I mean, you will get paid more for a real discovery as long as there's at least some money out there who's willing to beat up a real discovery. And let's face it, I mean, regardless if gold is at $3,000 or $1,000, a tier one discovery is a tier one discovery. And the miners will need to basically plug their supply gaps. So that's never going to go out of style. If you stick to something like that, I mean, of course that's going to trump if gold goes down, you know, $50 or $100. If they drill, I don't know, you know, 30 meters of 10 grams per ton, a junior that has a market cap of 15, and they just kept doing that. Look at Newfound Gold. It went to $2 billion. I mean, again, that's like, yes, I think you can do very well in a bear market. It's just that it's going to be more stock picking, and it's going to be mostly, I think, discovery focused, which I'm okay with since I'm discovery focused anyway. So I'm not selling any company, especially the ones that are discovery stories, which I believe will have good drill results, etc., and will just over 12 months, let's say they will drill up a, you know, inferred resource of like 3 times, you know, not even inferred, but like implied resource that would like triple their melon endowment, etc. If gold gone $100, etc., yes, I think the net result is going to be a rising stock price. With that said, I mean, that depends on what the starting valuation was. But now it's like, you know, buffet of cheap stuff. So if you get one of these discoveries right, when everything is cheap, that those couldn't be real rockets. So you do get paid for taking the pain of actually holding these cheap stocks, even though the gold trend might be down. Because if one of these hits, it could pay for like 10 juniors that are correcting.
So, Eric, I'm not going to disagree with you that if you get into a discovery story early on and they make a good, especially high-grade discovery, that stock can move no matter where the market's going. But I do want to go back to your comment that you entered the sector back in 2015. And the strategy from 2015 on, you can even make an argument that, well, that was the start of the bull market, because that's when the low happened at 1045 in gold. So the strategy of buying, continuing to buy and hold works in bull markets. But the strategy of buying and holding in potentially bear markets or longer term pullbacks, that doesn't work. That's not a great strategy, because there are other markets out there that you could be making money in and then rotating that money back into this market. I understand you still think gold is in this bull market, but we do need to consider, don't we, that maybe the bull run is over for maybe a couple of years. So why force the issue in here, except, of course, if you hit those new discoveries, which in all fairness, those are few and far between and very hard to consistently predict.
Well, I think that's an easy answer to that one. It's simply because, I mean, I kind of know gold mining and silver mining. That's within my circle of competence. I don't try to, you know, let's say I think that the macro fundamentals for, again, oil is better. I'm not going to be able to value an oil company in the same way I can value a gold miner. I wouldn't be able to spot an opportunity. In that case, I would have to basically become a trader that, okay, I think this sector overall is going up. But I would have little to no clue what the actual margin of safety was in a particular stock or the risk reward was. So if it went up, maybe I was lucky. I have no idea. But I mean, if you know a sector, etc., if you know that this kind of discovery or project or target, whatever, there's no way it should be valued like that. I mean, there are examples like Rookmaster Resources. It has like 2 million ounces AU equivalent, high-grade underground, and it's wide open. I mean, if the current market cap was even close to right, I mean, that would be a bad omen for the whole gold sector, because it would take like, I don't know, 50 million, X amount of years, incredible luck to even reach that point. And then it's going to be valued at 50 million. That makes no sense whatsoever. Then we're talking a completely different business than the gold business, because we know that it's very rare. It takes a lot of time. It's hard to get permits, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, that's what I meant about this. The valuations make no sense when you think about how hard the business is and how little new discoveries we get in relation to all the gold that's produced. So I think this is an inevitable bull simply due to the nature of the goldness. And I'm not willing, again, to sell something that I understand and I know it is cheap, because there might be someone that's dumber than me that's going to sell it, you know, for a cheaper price. That's, to me, that makes no sense. And I guess I'm quite alone in this. But again, it's like, you look at my, you know, my tradable portfolio. I think it's, I haven't looked recently, but like since 2016, up 2,000%, whatever. The GXJ isn't up 2,000%.
Eric, I hate to cut you off there, but making that kind of comment only agitates some investors that got into the sector in the last year or so, because they heard that stocks were still lagging the metal. Because quite frankly, there's been a lot of money lost in this sector over the last year, because people have said it's a bull market. You have to be buying. You have to be buying, when unfortunately the technicals have gone against that narrative.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just, Eric, it's just something that stands out to me that, look, I am still optimistic on this sector, but again, it's been a tough ride. And end of last week, beginning of this week, it's continuing to kill people. And we're even getting those comments of people saying, look, my portfolio is getting crushed. And if you're not in the handful of stocks that are doing well, just like we had back in the middle of that bear market, there were still some outperforming stocks like Great Bear, like Novo. But the problem is, if you're not in those, you're losing money. So look, I don't want to try to be too much of a bear here, but the market right now is telling us that gold is continuing to drift lower. It was nice that we bounced when it hit, when it dropped just below 1700. But right now, I still think we need to be cautious in this sector rather than continuing to buy, because we need to see a bit more of a turn here. And I don't know, that's just my personal preference. If I miss out on the first 10 or 15 or 20% on a stock, I'm okay with that, because if you're buying over this last year, you've given up way more than that on the downside. But hey, Eric, it's a tough market right now. I'm glad you've done so well, but you have also been in some of the best stories and ridden those higher. So that's where it can benefit. But I just know from the emails I'm getting and some of the comments we're getting on our site, there are people getting burned in this sector, and they keep on hearing all these positive comments and it's not playing out for them. And unfortunately, they're getting tired and they might get driven away, which is when truly the bottom could be here. But right now, boy, oh boy, it's a tough market and has been for the last year, unfortunately. But hey, Eric, I always enjoy chatting with you, and I do appreciate your optimism here, and the stocks you have picked throughout this run higher in the last about 5 years have been good stocks. It's just right now, yeah, take your own strategy, have your own strategy, and understand that there is still a lot of pressure in precious metals. So be sure that you're selective in the stocks you're picking. At least that's what I think. Eric, great chatting with you. As always, buddy, thanks for moving the call up this week, because there was a lot to talk about just from the trading on Friday and early this morning. Eric, thank you as always for your time, buddy. I'll post a link below our interview here to your website. That is thehedgelesshorseman.com. We'll chat again next week, Eric. Thank you for your time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.